VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And welcome to Crosstalk on VCY America. Jim Schneider with you today, and we're glad that you've joined us for a broadcast that we trust will be very informative and also one of warning. As Scripture says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We're also told to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And the issues that we're going to be talking about today are going to cover perhaps some areas of controversy when we bring up topics through the course of our interview with things like yoga and Christian yoga, quote-unquote, the New Age, Reiki, the global peace plans, and just a number of issues. So we're going to talk to somebody who's been there, who has quite a story to tell us today about the New Age movement, its impact, and its influence. It's our privilege to have back with us on Crosstalk Carol Matriciana. She is author of a brand new book entitled Out of India, A True Story About the New Age Movement. It's adapted from the 1985 version of the book called Gods of the New Age. And Carol, nice to have you with us on Crosstalk today.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's such a pleasure to be back with you.
Carol is a co-founder and co-producer of Jeremiah Films for over a couple of decades. She's contributed research and expertise to more than 55 documentaries, also served as a creative and marketing director. She founded Carol Productions in 2002, which promotes cutting-edge video journalism and information to help discern the times in which we live. Carol was raised in India, surrounded by a strange and mystical religion, seeing firsthand the effects of Hinduism and its impact upon the people of that nation. And then after leaving India as a young adult, she became involved in the counterculture hippie movement, only to find out that the elements of Hinduism and the New Age were much the same, and she discovered that the same spirituality had entered not only the Western world, but also has had an impact upon the church as well, unbeknownst to many people. So, Carol, we'd like to have you begin just by giving us a little bit more. I've just kind of given us a skeleton, but let's talk about some of your personal background to this book. You were born and raised in India. Tell us more about the influence that this had on you.
I think, Jim, thanks. I was actually fifth generation born in India, my dad before me and his dad before him. So I just love India, love the culture. I was surrounded by many religious views because India as a culture actually has people of many faiths. I had Muslim friends, Hindu friends, Christians of various different denominations, Jainism, which is another branch of Hinduism, a little bit of Buddhism, and Sikhism, which again is another branch. So, you know, you grow up in India sort of respecting, if you will, everybody else's religious views, and the streets were replete with diagrams and altars of the various different gods and goddesses that are within the Hindu Indian culture, if you will. I think it grows all the time, but I think there are 99 million gods and goddesses within Hinduism. Many believe in animism, the idea that nature is the end of all worship, or the beginning of all worship, if you will, that deity is in the trees, the animals, there are spirits within nature, and you appease them. So going to school as a young child, I remember seeing garlands around trees and marigold garlands around cows that roamed the street. In fact, I particularly remember a maimed cow that had a leg growing out of its neck, and because it was maimed, it was actually considered to be a reincarnation of some former god or deity. And so I would often see people not only feeding the cow with little sort of foody things, that whatever the cow liked, but also gathering its urine and drinking it so that the person drinking it would be imbued with spiritual powers. So I remember as a child being rather confused by it all, if you will, and repulsed by some of the more scary aspects of it. For instance, the goddess Kali, who is the main goddess of Calcutta, where I was born. She's a very, very black figure. She's a goddess of destruction. Her tongue hangs out with blood dripping on it, and she's got garlands of her dead husband's heads around her neck, and she's got these eight arms where she carries swords and things. And on her feast days, I remember Durga Puja and other such festivals lifting her up. It was very, very scary because at the time I didn't understand, but drugs and drug-induced frenzies were part of her spirituality, if you will, and appeasing the spirits around her so that she wouldn't destroy the farmers' fields and bring down adverse weather and all this kind of thing. So I sort of stayed away from a lot of it. I was rather terrified by many aspects of it. I was confused by a lot of it because I remember one time a holy man, supposedly, because he was completely insane, naked, with matted hair, and filthy-smelling creature that grunted and walked on all fours in the gutter. And because he was insane, his possession or his insanity, if you will, was considered to be a form of godliness. And I remember when he jumped out at me and it was a very terrifying experience as he sort of attacked me. The person that was with me fought him away. But the crowds around me came running up to me to touch me. And in my terror and trauma, they wanted to touch me because they wanted this madman's powers to come into them so that they could be spiritually enhanced, if you will. And I remember things like that being terrifying to me. So, you know, when I came back to the West and saw this kind of shinied up, cleaned up, repackaged Eastern mysticism that the Beatles pursued and that the hippie cultures pursued, I thought, my gosh, maybe I just missed something. And, you know, it was such a fad to be part of Eastern mysticism. And because I'd been born and raised there, I was sort of lifted up by my friends. So I embraced it as a sort of thing that maybe I'd misunderstood as a child.
And so therefore you saw it not only there in the East, you saw it in the elements of the West as well. And one of the concerning aspects, Carol, of course, that we want to talk about today is how this has encroached upon the church as well. And I know you cover just a wide array of subject matter in your books, all relating back to this mystical new spirituality that's emerged in the West. And I'd like to look at some of these individual topics as well and its impact. And let's start with yoga. I mean, just a week ago, somebody called me and inquiring about yoga. Maybe you could tell us what it is and whether or not Christians should be participating in practicing yoga.
Well, Jim, I actually, a couple of years ago, went back to India to make a movie on yoga called Yoga Uncoiled from East to West because of this embracing of the West, if you will, that many say, oh, well, I'm just involved in yoga for physical reasons. I just do it because I love the exercises and they help me. So I went back to India asking the sages and wise teachers and those that taught orthodox yoga that can yoga spirituality be separated from its physical aspects and positions. And they said, absolutely not. And in the movie, I point out by an Indian who says, you know, how can you take away the physical, let's say, when Paul mentions that in the church we need to do communion, take communion as a commemorative of Christ, that we take wine and food to remember what Christ did for us on the cross. How could you just say, well, I'm coming to eat and drink, and I don't believe in the cross, so to speak? So this is what yogis and the sages of India, the wise men, the gurus, the god men that practice yoga will tell you, that no, the positions are an integral part of the spirituality of yoga. There can be no yoga without Hinduism. There can be no Hinduism without yoga, because yoga was designed to bring bring the individual, to prepare the individual through death practices into reincarnation, to better themselves, prepare themselves for their next life. So yoga teaches one to calm down on one's breathing, to stop stresses that are going on in the mind, to stop, to cut off the emotional ties with the earth, to separate, to merge with what Hinduism calls the God consciousness out there, the Brahman, the idea of being able to merge one's inner self with the outer self of God consciousness. And in order to do that, one has to learn how to die to self. So it's actually an exercise of death. To prepare one for reincarnation. It's much like saying if somebody goes to the army and essentially joining the army teaches one to learn how to kill, but one of the byproducts of that happens to be health maintenance. I mean, you're learning to run and exercise and grow strong and carry packages, but the purpose of joining the army certainly isn't to grow fit. It's to learn how to kill. So this idea in yoga exercises that one can just do the stretching exercises and get into what's called the asanas and positions. The reason that they get into these positions, which all have names of animals, one is called the cobra. So one has to become like the snake and become one with the deity of the snake or with the deity of the pelican or the deity of the whatever the animal's position is, so that the idea within Hinduism is that all spirituality is part of God. God is part of all nature, and one must become the animal in a sense that one that the position that you're taking. So, yes, there's a little bit of stretching in it and balance in it, but that is not the real intention of yoga.
So, Carol, you're saying that really for a person who claims the name of Christ, claims to be a born-again Christian, that to practice yoga is actually to practice something that is a direct opposite to what his Christian values and beliefs and theological practice ought to be.
Well, of course, because the very idea of Jesus Christ coming down, the Word becoming flesh, dwelling amongst us in grace and truth to reflect the glory of God, is that he came to give us abundant life. We were dead in our trespasses, and so reincarnation is not the answer. Going into a death state and dying again to learn how to live again in another life is not the idea behind Christianity. We're told in the Bible that we die once and then the judgment, and that Jesus Christ has come that he may give us eternal life, and to believe in him is eternal life. So the very worldview of the purpose of Jesus is completely contrary to the worldview of practicing yoga. Now, for the Christian to say, oh, well, I'm just doing it for the exercises, no, every Christian, if they're truthful, when they do yoga, one of the positions, one of the very integral parts of yoga is to calm the mind, to disassociate from the stresses of the world, and to go within self and to learn calmly to breathe and to calm down, to evoke pranayama or breathing, so that you can calm down. Well, we know that exercise isn't mental gymnastics.
Carol, we've got a quick take a break here. We'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does evolution ever go backwards or reverse itself?
Chris, I don't think evolution occurs at all. God created each basic category of life. They may have varied, but this is not evolution. For evolution, you have to have new genes, new traits, new body parts, not just variety of the old. Sometimes evolutionists claim that evolution reverses itself and goes backwards. For instance, some are now claiming that the chimps, which are basically tree dwellers, descended from a missing link which walked upright, therefore backwards evolution. Chris, I think this is just as wrong as evolution in general is wrong. The evidence supports the biblical truth that man and apes are separate. There's variety among both, but they did not have a common ancestor. And that's just what we read when we go back to Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today is Carol Matriciana, author of the book Out of India, True Story About the New Age Movement. And certainly, as she found, as she is a fifth generation born in India, that the very same philosophies, that New Age, the Hinduistic beliefs and practices that were part of the worship and meditation and everything else in India has also had an impact here on the West. And the sad part, folks, is that this is having an impact upon the Christian church as well, and many are being swallowed up by these philosophies, by these vain deceits, and are being captivated by them. And Carol, we've been focusing on one issue so far, that of yoga, and there are those who are simply saying, you know, I'm not really impacted, I'm doing it for the exercise, it does help calm me down from all the pressures and stresses of everything going on. And part of the problem I'm seeing here is that people are quick to rationalize this without looking at the dangers that this is setting themselves up for.
Yes, exactly. Two things. First of all, to do anything with the mind, once one gets involved in a mind gymnastic, if you will, calming the mind, calming the stress, then you see what is happening in a way is that we are taking self, deifying self, giving self the ability to calm down the mind, and through a Hindu Eastern mystical process. Now, this process, some call it contemplative prayer. Marilyn Ferguson called it Christian mysticism. It doesn't matter. It's giving the mind over to a spirit of peace, if you will, a spirit of counterfeit peace. And this is playing into a spirituality. There is a peace. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if you follow me, I will give you peace, not as the world gives you peace. So apparently there is a counterfeit peace that one can manipulate and orchestrate by calming down, going within oneself, breathing, and breath manipulation is a very important part of yoga. It's part of the self-hypnosis, going within self, imagining your breath going in and out. Well, these are techniques for self-hypnosis, for an altered state of consciousness. And this is really a pseudo alleviating of stress, if you will. This is not a spiritual, it's a spiritual way of doing it, but it's not a biblical spiritual concept, which then opens the individual up to lying demons. You know, they embrace the lie, and the Lord gives them over to a spirit of delusion. So I think the thing when people say, well, I'm just doing yoga for the exercise, well, then we're talking about two types of exercise. One is a physical exercise. One is a spiritual exercise. All yoga forces one to do a spiritual mental relaxation technique, and that's the hook, the lure, if you will, that gets the individual into another spirituality.
But what if I'm meditating on scripture while I'm doing this, Carol?
Well, you see, this is always the justification. Uh-huh. Now, to meditate on scripture is wonderful, and the Lord tells us to meditate on his laws. We're to have them in our hearts. They're to be harnessed in our hearts. And I have to tell you, I walk around, I go on hikes meditating on the Lord. But, you know, I'm not sitting in a lotus position or a quiet position or changing my mind. I play tennis, but it's not Christian tennis. I mean, yes, I think of the Lord sometimes when I'm walking back to the ball or whatever and thanking God for a wonderful day in his creation. But a gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, thankfulness, is something different to this yoga meditation. Actually, what people say, and in my movie, Yoga Uncoiled, what you will see is they say that they, while they are doing these exercises, they think about a scripture or repeat the name of Jesus or repeat or bring in, visualize a part of scripture. Well, visualization is an Eastern mystical technique. Imagining Jesus, this is not what we are told to do in scripture. How can we make an idol in our mind and picture Jesus? We're told to meditate on his word and his law. And these are quite different. And then the repetitive idea of repeating a scripture is Jesus says, don't do what the Gentiles do and repeat, you know, get involved in repetitious, vain repetition. So there's a fusion going on here, and the Christian, usually, I've spoken to many Christians, some who have seen this yoga DVD, and the moment they listened to their inner man and the scriptures resonated in their inner man with the power of script, the truth of scripture, they were very quick to say, hey, I'll give it up. You know, it's exercise is wonderful. I mean, Paul says that we exercise our bodies and for a little while, and discipline of the body is okay. But this is a spiritual exercise that is taking us into a different worldview, a different God, a different prayer, a different type of visualization, a different preparation from a different worldview. It's a different gospel, a different spirit, which we're warned about in 2 Corinthians 11. Be careful not to imitate a different gospel, a different spirit, and a different Jesus.
Carol, Hariki has become popular also. Tell us what exactly this is and why you're concerned about it.
Any type of healing process that calls down a force, if you will, that works with what is called the laws of nature. That it is believed that the laws of nature can be manipulated. Well, the problem with this kind of thinking of any type of inner healing, massaging, visualization healing that draws on the forces of nature, the laws of nature, is a different type of spirituality. It plugs into the idea of Luke Skywalker's force, you know, the Star Wars force, the force be with you, that there is a white side of nature that we can tap into for our good. Harry Potter promoted this. I made a DVD called Witchcraft Repackaged, which showed that child-friendly witchcraft is being introduced through Harry Potter, who is the white side of the evil Lord Voldemort, the dark side, and that Harry can do things for healing, but the evil Lord Voldemort uses it for evil. So the idea is that there is good magic, good benign sources out there, resources that one can tap into for Reiki healing, for any type of body manipulation healing. Well, what this does twofold, the God of this world is under subjection to the laws of this world. Our God is outside of creation. He created the world. He is not subject to the laws of the world. He cannot be manipulated to jump to our bidding, if you will. So this source that is being used for spiritual healing, the one that can be supposedly manipulated through methodology, is not from the God of the Bible, because he cannot be manipulated. He performs miracles, yes, but according to his will, in his divine way, it's not natural, it's supernatural. So the scriptures tell us, be very careful, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. And Christians are many times plugging into these principalities, believing them to be, if you will, akin to mind science, that it's the laws of science, the laws of manipulation, that we can use this kind of methodology for healing. So it's a danger. We're calling down spirits who are there to jump to our bidding, but these spirits are not the ministers of God who only obey God. In fact, I made a movie called Supernatural Powers, which gives the difference between God's ministering angels who do what the Lord tells him to do, and then the fallen angels that are just waiting for us to open doors for them to come in. And Satan himself is described as an angel of light. So he has a white side and he has a dark side. He's the dragon of old, the serpent. So this huge stretch from light to dark and everything in between belongs to Satan. No wonder his ministers, Paul says, appear as ministers of righteousness. But God, the scriptures tell us, is a father of no variation. There is no shadow of variation in God, the Creator God.
Carol Matrician, our guest here today on Crosstalk, author of Out of India, will tell you a little bit later how you can obtain a copy of this book. But in addition to that, you'll want to check out Carol's website, where many of these DVDs that she's referring to are made available. You can learn more about them on her site, which is caroltv.com. That's CARYLTV.com, and you'll find much helpful information there. Carol, since we're meddling here a bit, chicken soup for the soul. It's widely quoted by Christian preachers today and Bible teachers. Tell our listeners about the underlying teachings of chicken soup.
Well, there we go again. It's based in New Age ideas. The authors, even though these things, Jim, are endorsed by Christians, in these last days we're told to be very careful because there's false teachings out there, false doctrines, another Jesus, another gospel. Remember that there is a huge market for consumerism out there. And if anything, gets books to be bought, that means if Christians endorse it, then it taps into the Christian market. And Christians who aren't being like the Bereans, who in Acts 17, Paul said, weighed all scriptures, all teachings that Paul gave were weighed against the Bible daily. They daily compared everything he taught against scriptures. Well, many Christians today are not comparing New Age teachings being promoted by New Agers, by Christian contemplatives, by the emergent church, by people that do not pursue the truth in the Bible. They are giving us another gospel that we can tap into the positive within ourselves, that, like as Oprah says, that we have a Christ within, or positive powers within. Norman Vincent Peale said the same thing. Robert Schuller says the same. That there is this sort of inner divine potential within us all, that through positive thinking, through positiveness, we can bring it about and have what we want. No, our God in heaven gives us what we need, not what we want. And also, we would ask, who is being manipulated? Who, if when we pull these strings, who is coming in giving us answers? And Jeremiah 17 says that there is no good thing within us, that our hearts are deceptively wicked. So why would we go within for answers rather than going to the God of the universe, the Creator God, who came from the outside into the world in order to resurrect us to his position in the heavenlies through Jesus Christ, so that we could have the richness of all that Jesus has to offer?
Carol's book, Out of India, is being made available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $16 or more. That includes first-class postage coming to your home. If you'd like to obtain a copy of her book, Out of India, folks, we are just scratching the surface on the many, many issues that she presents in her book. And it is a true story about the New Age movement. The book shows the underlying beliefs of this new spirituality, the move toward an inner spiritual world peace brought about through mystical practice. If you'd like to obtain a copy of the book, again, our way of saying thank you for your support of $16 or more, you may contact our switchboard at 800-729-9829. Ask for the book Out of India. That's 800-729-9829. Or by writing to us at Crosstalk, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Well, I have a question or two yet I need to ask Carol, but at the same time, let's open a phone line so you can start getting on board with your questions. Our phone number for Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. If you have a question or comment, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
Was the creation week literally 6 days? Does science point to an old Earth? Young Earth creationists and old Earth creationists have been debating their respective positions for two centuries. The controversy has become one of the major battles in the modern church. An increasing number of 20-somethings who once attended church faithfully have stated that the idea that the Earth is millions of years old was one thing that caused them to start doubting the Bible and leave the church. In the book, Old Earth Creationism on Trial, co-authors Tim Chafee and Jason Lyle examine the claims made by Old Earth creationists and provide biblical evidence that refutes those claims and brings us back to the authority of Scripture. They tackle issues like the gap theory, a local versus universal flood, and many other related issues. To obtain a copy of Old Earth Creationism on Trial, send a donation of $16 or more to VCY America, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. To donate by phone, call 1-800-729-9829.
Our guest today is Carol Matriciana, author of Out of India, a true story about the New Age movement, born and raised in India. Carol was surrounded by all these effects of Hinduism, but guess what? When she left India, she did not leave those things behind in that she found, as she came to the West, those things are embroiled in the Western culture and disturbingly, in the Christian church as well. Carol, as I mentioned before we pick up a call or two here, Rick Warren, he has traveled this globe touting his global peace plan, and it's notably minus the clear gospel of Jesus Christ. But how does this tie into this new spirituality? We know that there's even the Maitreya promoting, talking incessantly about an outpouring of good deeds prior to the entrance in of this new world teacher and so on. The social gospel is being promoted by evangelicals, seems to play right into this. Could you comment on these things?
Yes. The Bible tells us, Jim, that there is going to be a Christ-like figure. He is going to dupe the whole world that he is indeed Christ, and he is going to get into a peace treaty in the last days. Israel, indeed, is going to even believe that this is the Messiah, the long-hoped-for Messiah that they thought Jesus was going to be 2,000 years ago. So we see that there is a conditioning process in the entire world, shifting truth, shifting political values, shifting economy. And we're told that this end-time leader is going to be a political leader who embraces globalism, global economy, global commerce. And in order to do this, there has had to be several decades of preparation. The United Nations after World War II put together what they considered to be a peace plan so that there would never be another World War II. And we see Rick Warren's peace plan, PEACE, it's an acronym of planting, supposedly. It started off as an evangelical-based idea of planting churches is what P stood for, educating the masses towards a Christian gospel, et cetera, et cetera. But we see that as he has become elevated, if you will, with his purpose-driven books, and of course, here again, purpose-driven is completely opposite to the spiritual mandate to be spirit-led. One is walking in the flesh, driving the purpose of the flesh agenda, the world's agenda. The other is walking by the Spirit, which is in obedience to biblical truth. So we see a shift in Rick Warren's peace plan to now tie in with many of the agendas of the United Nations, and what he's doing is mobilizing the church through 40,000 pastors that receive Rick Warren's newsletter, who are then teaching their church members to be part of humanitarian works. And there is nothing wrong with humanitarian works. That's not the issue here. The issue is that Christ gave us a mandate to preach the gospel, to tell others, to tell all people in all nations, to disciple them according to what Jesus taught, which is that he came to give us eternal life so that we may be separated from eternal damnation, which is a consequence of sin. So it doesn't matter how much you polish up the earth and social endeavors clean up the earth if the people are going to go to hell or eternal damnation. But nobody likes to teach these things, and so what we see is a seeker-friendly, emergent, consumeristic type Christianity, which is mobilizing vulnerable Christians to bring about the eventual rise of the Antichrist. And very quickly, that's what I said. I mean, I give many more details in the book Out of India and some of my other writings in my archives and my newsletters on www.carrealtv.com will explain these in further detail. But overall, quickly, we are being conditioned with a process, and the process is shifting the truth. the truth away from Jesus, who says, I am the way and the truth, the scriptures that are the truth and the word of God. And we're sort of getting into a more experience-based type of religiosity, spirituality that is seeking truth from within. What I feel is a reality is my truth. Well, you know, this is doesn't work in the true reality of what God ultimately is going to hold us accountable for.
Carol, our lines are jammed here, and we'll take as many calls as we can. Let's begin in Great Falls, Montana. Irwin, you're on the air. Hello, Irwin. Okay, let's go to Jerry in Wisconsin. You're on the air, Jerry.
Yes, thank you. Say, I'm involved. I've been involved with quite a few tracks for different purposes and candidates, and I just can't recall, even with the chick track, seeing one on yoga. So I'm wondering if either one of you knows of a track you could give, because it seems like there are Christians that are professing Christianity that are getting into yoga, like for exercise reasons, but a track that would explain the kind of things that your guest has just explained earlier would be most helpful.
Well, Jerry, I would suggest that you contact Chick Publications. I think that they carry my yoga DVD. I've forgotten, but we do work together. And if you ask Chick if they could put the Yoga Uncoiled DVD into a tract, I think that would be a great idea.
Thanks for the call. Jim is calling next from Medford, Oregon. You're on the air, Jim.
Hi. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. Carol, I have a question about... one, just, you know, bending and stretching before I go to work. I have a physical job, you know. I sit on the floor and, you know, try and touch my toes. And the other one is I recently started going to a church where they have something called soaking. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's where they sort of lay down and the pastor goes around and lays his hands on us, and we play sort of like strange music. The music sometimes sounds like a 60s B-in kind of stuff. But they're orthodox in every other way, but his ideology is you can chew the meat and spit out the bones. And so the other night we had a video on Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland waving their hands over people, and the people were falling down. You know, Kenneth Hagin was saying, be drunk, and I didn't really go along with that, so I need some wisdom on this.
Well, there are certainly issues in Hagin and Copeland's ideology. It's not biblical, the idea of, again, manipulating forces to make people fall down, cry, howl like animals. You know, one of the scriptures says that the gift of the Holy Spirit is self-control. One of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is self-control. So a lot of Hagin and Copeland's enterprises falls very, very short of self-control. The idea of soaking, I've never heard of this, Jim, but the idea of a pastor coming around laying hands, it worries me because, again, it seems to be part of the Pentecostal Todd Bentley's idea of passing on the impartation, that apparently one person can be a mediator of a force and an impartation of spirituality that can be felt by those that are being touched. So once you move into experience and feeling, then you're working with a different type of reality, a different truth, and the idea of spitting out good and bad, nah. What we are told to do is meditate on the scriptures. The scripture is completely filled with truth. Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is the Spirit. He gives us the Spirit to give us truth. So I completely concur with you and your red flags here, and I would suggest that you stay away from those things and touch your toes and bend and stretch. And as long as you don't exercise the mind with spiritual fantasy and ideas of being able to feel peace and calm coming over you as somebody supposedly imparts stuff, that's where the danger is.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. And appreciate it. Please pray that I find the church wherever God wants me. I want to be in a good, doctrinally sound, in love with Jesus church.
Thank you, Jim.
I pray that for you, Jim, and as long as you stick by the word, that is our truth, that's our life, those are the essentials, and many, many churches are falling away from teaching sound doctrine, the whole counsel of God. So thank you for the desires of your heart. I know the Lord hears that.
Thanks for the call from Medford, Oregon. Next to Cedar Grove, Wisconsin. Audrey, you're on the air.
Yes. First of all, I really want to thank you, Jim and Carol. I've seen your DVD 3 times now. I've ordered a second one. There is so much yoga going on in this area. I see yoga and kayaking in our local paper, and the yoga exercise in our library right in our community, and I'm very concerned about it. How do we educate the people? I finally have someone in my church willing to look at the DVD, but it seems like nobody wants to speak up. Nobody wants to confront. What prayer, I know, but the tract was interesting. That was something else I thought of. How do we educate? How do we get people?
You know, Audrey, is this who I'm speaking to?
Yes.
Audrey? Audrey, you know, our responsibility is only to lead and direct people to the truth. Then it becomes God's responsibility to work in their hearts and change their hearts to a love for him. The scriptures tell us that the apostasy in the end days, that people are going to not choose to follow the truth, and that's why the Lord's going to give them over to a spirit of delusion. So it's each person's choice. I think one of the most interesting things happening in our postmodern culture today, along with multiculturalism, is that people believe that they can choose truth, that everybody can have their own truth and redefine truth. Well, see, this is the problem. There is only one real truth. The reality is that Jesus Christ is the way, the life, and the truth, that God's truth is his word. There is a truth, no matter how much the postmoderns want to redefine it. And all our call is to stick by the truth, stick with sound doctrine. We're told there are going to be false teachers in the last days that are going to perpetuate another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. And we just continue, Audrey, staying grounded in the truth and praying that the Lord will open up the eyes of those that have ears to hear the truth.
Exactly, except that I do know. The church that I am a member of preaches the whole counsel of God. They preach the gospel of Christ. The problem I'm talking about is not confronting this and not speaking up about it.
Well, you see, that's what another thing that's going to happen in the last days is that we're going to redefine good and evil. And it's politically incorrect to say that something is evil. It's politically incorrect for us to tell people that their souls are damned to hell if they don't choose eternal life. And Jesus says, by this you'll have eternal life if you believe in me. And we're not even allowed to tell people to turn to Jesus. So the church is being more and more compromised. But the disciples, the apostles of old, the followers of Jesus, never allowed the government to allow them to be compromised. They still spoke the truth, even when they were taken to court and told that they had to, in other words, shut their mouths and not speak it. They still continued because the law of God is above the law of the God of this world.
Thank you, Audrey. Appreciate that. Mike in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Well, thanks for taking my call, and thank you for the Pagan Invasion series that BCY has put on. And I was just reading your book, The Gods of the New Age, this morning and studying over it. It has blessed me over the years and enabled me to go out to New Age conferences and to, you know, reach out to the lost and offer them hope with a new birth.
Well, Mike, thank you so much. Actually, the Out of India, thank you for your encouragement and support, Mike. That is really blesses my soul. Gods of the New Age has been updated in the new book, Out of India, and Gods of the New Age, the VHS, or the video that we made in the old days, has been updated with Yoga Uncoiled. So just to let you know that 2 decades later, what we warned about back then, which wasn't in the church at that time, it was just on the fringes of the church, is now well embedded in the church, in the emergent church, in the purpose-driven church, etc., etc. And that's what our Yoga Uncoiled and God of Out of India book is all about.
Right. With regard to yoga,
tell you what, I need to have you hold, Mike. We have a quick 60-second break. We'll come back to your calls here at Crosstalk, also telling you how you can obtain a copy of Carol's book. This is Crosstalk on VCY. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Perhaps you're familiar with the fact that we're doing free one-night Code Blue rallies all over the country. You can find out where these free one-night rallies are by simply going to our website, codebluerally.com. Codebluerally.com. But people ask, why are we doing Code Blue rallies, and why is there a Code Blue? Well, because only 4% of adults have a biblical worldview. 64% of self-professing Christian adults believe that truth depends on the situation. 60% of self-professing Christian adults say that male and female cohabitation outside of marriage is acceptable. And 55% believe a good person can earn his or her way to salvation. Well, when it comes to the adults, we find also that 70% of self-professing Christian adults do not list bringing their children of faith through Jesus Christ as one of their parental goals and outcomes in life. We have a code blue crisis with the teens because we have a code blue crisis with the parents. For more information, you can visit our website, codebluerally.com, and request our free magazine, codebluerally.com.
Reminder that Carol's book Out of India, True Story About the New Age Movement, contains a lot of the information. We are just scratching the surface on this topic here, folks. Her book is with index close to 250 pages. We're making it available here through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $16 or more. If you'd like to obtain a copy, you may call our switchboard here at 1-800-729-9829 or by writing to Crosstalk at 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Mike, we're going to quick get you back on for that question that you had as well.
Just a quick comment. Thus believing Christians have but one choice to battle with Jesus against the occult and the demonic, which also threaten us in the teaching of yoga. And with regard to yoga, a Christian today can only choose between Christ and Belial, for the possibility of combining yoga with the Christian faith does not exist. Thank you for equipping us to reach out to the lost, and we ask that the church can get a burden for the lost and go on the offensive with her materials.
Thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Mike, for your encouragement.
And let's go to Ben in Pennsylvania. You're on the air, Ben.
Hi. I guess I'm calling from the dark side. It seems to me that this discussion is spreading fear and anxiety and paranoia. And I think everybody should take a deep breath and relax a little bit.
Well,
thank you, Ben. I don't quite know how, I suppose any information, good or bad, is educational. It's not intended to strike fear. Actually, it's intended to bring absolutely everlasting life, because one has a choice of choosing Jesus Christ, who is eternal life, or choosing to remain uneducated, or choosing not to make a choice. And choosing life separated from an eternal God. So it's not fear. I mean, if one, you tell a child not to stand out in a street filled with cars passing back and forth, and you could say, don't tell that child because it brings fear to the child. Well, the reality is that there is a supernatural world out there. There are powers and principalities, spirit beings, a spiritual world. I grew up in India and very, very aware. Everybody's aware of.
Yeah, and Carol, it's not God who gives us a spirit of fear. Fear is of the devil. But certainly, when truth clashes against falsehood, certainly it raises the eyebrow, and we certainly need to confront those issues. But our caller chose to hang up and not to follow through with us here, so we'll move on as well.
Interesting that Ben claims he comes from the dark side, and of course the dark doesn't like the light,
right,
as Scripture says. So thanks, Ben.
There's no fellowship between the two. Irwin in Montana, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you so much. Great thing that you're doing, Carol. I really wanted to hit on another issue here. I've been bouncing around churches myself, and I landed a church that these churches themselves are filled with, even though a lady called earlier and said that they're filled with a good Bible teaching and such, but you still have that spirit. You dare not to come up against some of the things that are just, it seems so worldly in the church. And so the church itself, and most of these Christians, another issue that I wanted to ask about is, wasn't sure if it was in your book or not, is take a look at the music that's being presented, as far as, they have this Christian rock music, so to speak.
Actually, Irwin, I do carry some DVDs. I know we're pressed for time at the moment, but if you go on to caryltv.com, CarylTV.com, I've got tapes on music and the roots of certain aspects of it. So, you know, that'll help you. But yes, truth, you're right. Everybody in, I think what's happening is people go to churches thinking that a church is going to be entirely correct or right or without sin, without blemish, whatever it is. We need to go to God. God is our truth. God is our word. And, you know, not everybody is able to, I mean, you know, to discern between God's truth and, especially at a time, as I said earlier, that postmodernism teaches that truth can be all things to all people and relative and not subjective. Not objective, but subjective.
Yeah, and some aspect of music is covered in Chapter 11 of the book, The Music and the Mystical. But you'll find more on that site, Carol, CARYLTV.com. We're going to squeeze in one last call from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Leah, you're on the air.
Hi, I was just wondering if Carol had ever heard about or knew anything about EFT, or Emotional Freedom Technique.
What is it, EFT?
EFT.
And what does that stand for, Eau Claire?
It stands for Emotional Freedom Technique.
Okay, Emotional Freedom. Now, anything that would say technique, I haven't actually heard of EFT, but I would be very wary, red flags come up on any technique that offers emotional freedom. Emotional is usually connected with the soul, the spirit. And we're told in Isaiah that Jesus Christ is our counselor, and we go to him in truth. So psychology, Christian psychology, I also carry DVDs on psychology in the church, which is one of the growing problems, because psychology is based in humanism and secularism, whereas biblical counseling is based in the Spirit of God. So any technique being offered for freedom of emotions, Claire, I would suggest be very careful of, because it is not techniques, it's not manipulating powers and principalities that help us and free us. It's only the truth will set us free. We get into emotional problems because we believe a lie. When you believe a lie, you're put into bondage. The opposite of bondage is freedom, believing in truth. And Jesus Christ can set one free with his truth.
Leah, we appreciate your call. We're out of time, and I know many others of you waiting to talk with our guest here today, but we would direct you again to the website at CarolTV, CARYLTV.com, and learn about other issues and items there that are available, DVDs and resources. Her book, Out of India, is being made available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $16 or more, and you can obtain it by calling our switchboard at 800-729-9829. Carol, thanks so much for being with us here today on the broadcast.
Jim, what a total thrill. Thank you. It's lovely to be talking to you again, and I hope it'll happen soon.
Carol Matriciana, Out of India, true story about the New Age movement. And again, folks, the frightening aspect is those things, the Hinduism, the mysticism that was part of what she saw in India has come over to the West. It's embroiled in many facets of the secular society. And a warning, it's encroaching past the walls of the church as well. We appreciate you joining us this week here on Crosstalk on VCY America. Tell a friend to join in and listen with you another day.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a cassette or CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.